very, very important passage of Scripture, and you'll see why in just a moment. In the third chapter of Exodus, in verse 1. Now Moses had been raised as an Egyptian. He thought that he was going to deliver the people, the children of Israel. God wasn't ready at that time. Expelled from his land, he'd been 40 years in the backside of the desert at Midian. And now the Lord God on his sovereign time clock reveals himself to this little shepherd. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, now watch carefully. He said, I am the God of thy father. The father's in singular, but note carefully. He said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And if you'll notice in the text, you have a capital L-O-R-D, printer's type, in verse 4. Capital L-O-R-D, printer's type, in verse number 2. That's the King James translators telling you that that word in Hebrew is Jehovah. And what that simply means is that this is the God of the covenant, blood atonement, that reveals himself to a man that he called from Ur of the Chaldees. It's very important to get this. That God chose to reveal himself to one man out of all the pagan people on the earth. Abraham was living in paganism. He was living and his father was an idolater. He was living in a land of darkness and ignorance. God chose to reveal himself to this one man, call him from paganism, call him from idolatry, call him forth into a land that he didn't know, but he simply by faith followed God. And God revealed himself to this man, progressively reveals himself in the Old Testament, but he makes himself known to three men. He makes himself known to Abraham. Abram changed his name to Abraham, then into his son Isaac, then into his son Jacob. And from thenceforward, the formula is always the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Not just the God of Abraham, because Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac as his two sons. And the Arab today that blew up those trade towers is a son of Abraham. But his God is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac had two sons. And these two sons, Jacob and Esau, one was in the formula, or one was in the true line, and the other one was Esau, Edom, an Edomite, who merged and literally became part of what's called the Arab world today. And so therefore the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is the true God. Say, how do you really know that? Look at Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 32. We come to the New Testament and we come to a passage that the Son of God himself spoke, and he referred right back to what I just quoted. In Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 32, the text says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God does not serve over corpses. Everybody that ever has ever known him has always been alive and always will be alive. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Now let's get it straight tonight before we go further, for it's very important to establish this simple fact. That the God that I serve tonight, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That makes him the God of the Jew that was alive 2,000 years ago, that was looking for the coming of the Messiah. Simeon for one, Anna for another, Mary for another, Joseph for another, John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and Zacharias for another. They were looking for the coming of the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed One. They believed in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So I stand to you tonight and say to you, that to be a Christian, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to accept Him as your Savior and your Lord and your God. For God's got a body, and that's Jesus Christ. If He can be seen physically, He's seen in Jesus Christ. God the Father's a spirit. You can't touch Him. You can't see Him. You can't even know Him unless He reveals Himself to you. And no one knows the essence of a spirit, but God Almighty is as real as we are here tonight. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But I do not believe that He's the Son of Allah. I do not believe He's the Son of Mohammed. I do not believe He's the Son of Buddha. I believe He's the Son of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, when we get that established, we've got ourselves on course tonight to understand what's going on today, because the issue that happened today of this week was a religious issue. And I didn't put a lot in that this morning because of the message. But tonight, I want to point your attention to this. On December the 7th, 1941, the Empire of Japan launched an air attack against Pearl Harbor. And they found within that harbor battleships and destroyers and so forth. And my friend, they killed many hundreds of our men and women that day. I think the figure is 2,300, 2,400 people died that day at the hands of the Empire of Japan. But Japan was fighting for oil, and they were fighting for their place in the world. And they were fighting for an empire's dominion, so forth and so on. It was not a religious war. But what happened Tuesday is absolutely and completely religious. It is one religion saying to you straight to your face, we are superior to you. You are a kafir. And the hadith, which is the book of the sayings of Muhammad, which is the commentary on the Quran, which clears up a lot of the obscure verses of the Quran. Remember that word, hadith. The hadith is the sayings of Muhammad, Muhammad the prophet. And this clears up the Quran, and whatever he says is law to these people. He calls you a pagan, and the word for that is a kafir. And according to their law, they could come at any time, at any moment, any way, anyhow, and they can wipe you from the face of the earth in serving Allah, their God. And so what happened Tuesday was the work of a religious religion that has declared war on Christianity, Judaism, and Western culture. And my friend, what they have done is declare war on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the issue tonight is not whether or not we will be able to negotiate with these people and to deal with these people and to talk to these people and use sense with these people. There is no deterrent to what these people are and what they do. There is nothing the United States of America can wave in front of a maddened dog of fanatical Islam and say to him, if you do this, we're going to do that. He doesn't care. He'll die doing what he intends to do. The only way to stop him is to kill him. You say, well, now that's crazy. We stopped the Russians. By the deterrence of a nuclear weapon, we said to them, if you destroy us, we'll destroy you. Yes, because they valued their life above their ideology. This Islam that I'm going to talk about in just a moment, Islam is a system of submission to Allah. That's what it means. It means to submit to Allah. And a Muslim is one who submits. So if you're a Muslim, that means you are part of the religion of Islam that submits to Allah. That's all it means. And this system of religion is determined to wipe you from the face of the earth or convert you to Islam. The Crusaders went through that, and I'm not up here today to back up the Crusaders and all that they went through and all this and that, and the popes that sent them down there. But there has been a religious war raging for centuries, ever since Mohammed got his Quran from Gabriel and said that he received direct inspiration from God, and the Mohammed says that he believes the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so now if that hasn't awakened you tonight to something, maybe when I get through this message, you begin to think. They do not deny the existence of the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's the way they handle it. And you know that on the market today, over 400 different translations of the English Bible. And you wonder to yourself, why so many translations? And I'm going to give you a direct connection tonight to Islam and show you how, my friend, that all of this dovetails together to the coming of the man of sin. This is no coincidence that they struck us on the ninth month, the 11th day of the month. And that day they struck America, and that day they made their statement, and that day they became Mujahideen, and that day they became warriors that died and went straight to paradise. And a young lady told me that she heard that they had red bandanas on their head, and I have seen the Palestinians take their little children, no bigger than this, and put a red bandana on their head and strap explosives to their waist, and teach them at this age how to become terrorist bombers, to become mujahideen, to die in a jihad, a holy war, against the kafir, the pagan. That's who you are. As far as they're concerned, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean a thing to a Muslim. You're still a pagan. If you call yourself a Jew, that doesn't mean a thing to him. You're still a pagan. And he is commanded by Muhammad and the sword to take the faith of Islam across the face of the earth and wipe the kafir from God's earth. It's a religious thing. Amen. Nobody hates you like a Muslim hates you.
Amen. Amen.
That's why they have no remorse. That's why the Palestinians were jumping up and down in the streets. That's why Yasser Arafat rushed to damage control and was appalled at this horrible act of terror, while at the same time he's blowing up Jews in Tel Aviv.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's why the American media right now is walking a fine line, because they want to support America because of the populace like the
Amen.
And so, I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying tonight. I do not hate Muslims. I do not hate Buddhists. I do not hate Confucius. I do not hate Jainists. I do not hate all the rest of the religions of the world. My friend, the people in these religions, put it that way, but I despise the religion.
Amen.
Why, preacher? Because there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. And that's the only one there is. And so with these red things around their forehead and crashing into the World Trade Center, they found out real fast that dying for Allah did not send them to paradise. It sent them straight to hell. A brief summary of Mohammed. He was born in Mecca, 570 A.D., orphaned at an early age, raised by his grandfather, then his uncle. His family was aristocratic and influential. He grew up in times of religious and political confusion and uncertainty. At the age of 25, he married a wealthy 40-year-old widow named Khadija. At 40, he began claiming to receive dreams and revelations, but was unsure of their source. He quoted these revelations to others who wrote them down. His wife convinced him these were messages from God, as Muslims today believe. But non-Muslim believe he developed such a deep religious fervor out of concern for the needs of his people that he began having dreams about religion and attributing to God. Rejected at first by the people of Mecca, he fled to Medina. Mecca and Medina are two of the most holy spots for a Muslim, where he became a religious and political leader. By a series of violent battles, he obtained income, converted people to Islam. Eventually, he returned to Mecca and captured it by force. When he died at age 63 to 65, a power struggle developed regarding who should succeed him. Several sects resulted, the major two being the Sunni Muslim and the Shiite Muslim. We will mainly consider the Sunni in our lesson tonight. What is their doctrine of God? They do not believe in many gods. They believe in one God. They believe that idolatry is not part of the religion, but they correctly identify the fact that there is one God, but they incorrectly identify who he is. Muhammad taught that there is only one divine being, that he's God, but he denied the deity of Jesus Christ. He said he was a great prophet, But he said he was a greater prophet than Jesus. He denied Jesus was the Son of God. And I can show you the references in the Quran if you'd like to see them. So therefore, my friend, if you say Jesus is a great prophet and a great teacher, and say whatever you want to about him, how great this and great that he was, that doesn't mean a thing. Jesus Christ was the God-man. Nothing less. He was Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, manifest in flesh. His doctrine of salvation differs from ours. The Muslim believes that he can outweigh his bad works by good works, that he can be received up into heaven. Except if he dies in a jihad, a holy war, as a mujahideen. And then he goes straight to paradise. These doctrines, of course, are obvious, are different from the Word of God. They deny that Jesus was crucified. Denying that the Son of God was crucified, that denies the only way of salvation there is. There's only one way, folks, and that's through the cross. There's only one blood atonement ever made for the sins of man. You're not cleansed from your sins by the traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. Amen. They deny the sacrificial death because they deny the crucifixion. And my friend, because of that, they deny the resurrection from the dead. So since he did not die, since he did not shed his blood for them, and since he did not arise from the dead, they have no gospel. They've gutted the gospel. The only thing they have left is good works, which makes them essentially the same thing that a Jew's doing today. Because that's essentially the doctrine of rabbinic Judaism, is the doctrine of good works. May your good works outweigh your bad works. And that's all they can teach a man. And there's not a person in this building tonight that would be honest with God, that wouldn't say in a heartbeat, there's no way, if God judged me according to my works, that I'd ever make it to heaven. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, by the blood of Christ, by the word of God, we've been gotten to a new and lively hope. Amen. And so the doctrine of salvation is not, my friend, what the Islam understands to be correct. Muhammad versus Jesus, in the sense that Muhammad claimed that he was the last and greatest of the prophets. He claimed that he received his revelation straight from Gabriel. Gabriel, he said, I am the man that stands before God. Gabriel, the prophet, the one who stands before Abraham, Elohim. And he said, I received my prophecy directly from him. There's another outfit today that's out in Salt Lake City, Utah, that had a prophet that received his prophecy from a prophet or from an angel. And they have millions of them out there now that are going across this earth and making more disciples. And they call them the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It just goes to show you that people will believe anything, but the truth of the Word of God. I am no more of a prophet tonight or a son of a prophet. I know no more prophecy than anybody else except what this Bible has here. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, but I know regardless of what happens 5 minutes from now, I know the one that holds 5 minutes from now. Fulfill prophecy. Now get a hold of what I'm going to say to you. Listen to this. Islam claims the Bible was changed to eliminate prophecies of Muhammad. They claim that some of the prophecies refer to Muhammad were actually fulfilled in Jesus. They claim that Muhammad fulfilled other prophecies, but Jews and Christians changed their own scriptures to remove these prophecies and destroy the evidence. Are you listening? If you get a hold of a Muslim scholar and he says to you, well, you can't trust this, because this has been changed, that Muhammad is in here, and you Christians and you Jews changed this book and took him out. And you would say to yourself, well, how would I answer him? All right, let me show you one way to answer him, a very simple way. When did I tell you Muhammad was born? 576th century, 570 A.D. Therefore, Muhammad did not even exist until 570 A.D. That meant that the religion of Islam did not exist until at least 600 AD, until he was grown up. All right. But we have a quotation in John 16 and verse 7, where it talks about the Comforter coming. And the King James translators translated the word parakletos as Comforter. Now, who is the Comforter? That's the Holy Ghost. And when he, the Holy Ghost, is come, when he, the Comforter, is come, all right. We know that's the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And this Comforter is the one who guides us into all truth. But listen to what the Muslim says about that. They give the example of John 16, verse 7, which predicts the coming of the Comforter. They claim this originally used the word praised. In plain words, when the praised one will come. The praised one in Arabic is Muhammad, because that's what Muhammad means in Arabic. It means the praised one. So, the Muslim cleric will say to you that you have changed the Bible and taken Muhammad out of it because it should have said the praised one. All right. In 140 to 150 A.D., a Bible was written that's called the Syriac Peshitta. You're talking about the first generation after Christ. You're talking about the time right past Ignatius and Polycarp and the men who knew the Apostle John and the 12. And this book has in John chapter number 16 and verse number 7,
yes.
Parakletos, Comforter,
yes. Yes.
Holy Ghost,
yes. Amen.
Long before Muhammad was ever born.
Amen.
If we Christians change this to take Muhammad out, we sure do know prophecy, don't we? If we're smart enough to know 300 years before a man's ever born to take his name out of a book, I guarantee you they're giving us a lot of due. Are you following me tonight?
Amen.
No, he's not taken out of it.
Amen.
He was never in it.
Amen.
He was never in it because he's never been part of the household of God.
Amen.
He wasn't in it. But he freely borrows from the Old Testament and the New Testament to create his Koran. His Koran was given to him, he says, by Gabriel. He's the author of the Koran. Make no mistake about it. Not God, but Muhammad. And so therefore, this issue will not stand. That is fulfilled prophecy. The resurrection from the dead they deny. They admit that Jesus did miracles, but they deny he arose from the dead. The scriptures, they teach many things that contradict the Bible. Here are just a few. They said that Jesus was not the divine Son of God. They said that Jesus' death was not a crucifixion. Muhammad taught Christians believe the Godhead consists of the Father, Son, and Mary. And that's not what we believe. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Quran says that one of Noah's sons drowned in the flood. He didn't. Shem, Ham, and Japheth made it through. The Quran says Lot's wife stayed behind and perished among the people of Sodom. No, she didn't. She got out. She just looked back. The Quran says John the Baptist's father was speechless for 3 days. As a sign, nope. Much longer than that. How long was he speechless? 9 months. Amen. Till they came out and said, what will we call him? And the first word out of Zechariah's mouth was what? John. And out it came. Amen. And he called him John. Muhammad referred to Haman as the minister of Pharaoh. Who was Haman the minister under? He wasn't under Pharaoh. Where's he found in the Bible? What book? Ishtar, Esther, right? That little Jewish girl. You remember her real name? Hadassah. And they changed their name. They always like to change the identity of the children of Israel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, to Belteshazzar, and all that junk. They don't like godly names because they exalt Jehovah. And so, Haman was not under Pharaoh. He was under the Persian king, Ahasuerus. Muhammad confused Miriam, the sister of Moses, with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Boy, he gets his times really messed up. The Quran teaches men today may practice polygamy and divorce for any cause. And the fact of the matter is, Muhammad had a harem, or a harem, before he left this world. I know David had one. I know Solomon had one. I know that. But the Lord told him in Matthew chapter 19, it was not so from the beginning. Male and female created he them. One man, one woman. Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses gave you a writing of divorcement. The Quran teaches there will be a marriage in heaven. Jesus said there will be no marriage in heaven. You'll be as the angels. You're not going to be sexless, but there'll be no marriage in heaven. And then Muslims try to rationalize by claiming the Quran has been preserved accurately, but the Bible has been perverted. So all of these new Bible translations fall right into their hands. All of these many, many, many different translations. I'm sure that the Muslim is just licking his chops, thinking, you stupid pagans are adding to our admonition. Because the more translations you make, the more you're saying among yourselves, you don't know what the Word of God is.
Amen. Amen.
They don't like it when somebody holds up a book and says,
Amen.
That
Amen.
Book,
Amen.
This book,
Amen.
Is the infallible Amen. Word of God.
Amen.
Not a book, this book.
Amen.
This book.
Amen.
I was preaching revival not too long ago and said that, and I had some.
Yeah, amen.
You can always tell when you struck a raw nerve.
Come on.
Amen. They stayed with me for 5 days. We had a 5-day revival. I preached everything under the sun. I went all over the Holy Land. I was up in heaven. I was going straight on down to the pit with them. I went everywhere until I got to the Bible. And I said, the Bible is the infallible Word of God. And I said, not just a Bible, the AV-1611 is the infallible Word of God. That means it is without error. Well, they left me there. They left me there. Now, hold on a minute. How important is that? If it is not the infallible Word of God, then you don't know for sure whether you're coming or you're going. And you really don't even know whether that Muslim is right when he says they jerked Muhammad out of it. And you say, well, I've got the original. You don't have them. Nobody else has them. You got the promise of God that he would preserve his word from this generation forever. Amen. So, we have the hadith. Now listen to this about the hadith. It is the sayings of Muhammad about the Quran. In other words, he is the interpreter of his own book. And here's what he says about war ethic and the kafir. Because this is so important about this last Tuesday. This is what he says. The following quote is taken from the hadith. Our brother here says, do not believe any Muslim leader or mullah who tells you that the jihad, holy war, in Islam is obsolete. Afghanistan, the Taliban, has already warned Pakistan and every other country over there that if they support the United States, that the Mujahideen, that's the plural, they pluralize like Hebrew, in the Mujahideen, will come by their thousands in a holy war, a jihad, against any people who support the United States. And so, the prophet says, by him in whose hands my soul is, whoever is wounded in Allah's cause, and Allah knows well who gets wounded in his cause, will come on the day of resurrection with his wound having the color of blood, but the scent of musk. What's that mean? It means that he will give as a witness what he did to die as a mujahideen, but it will smell so sweetly in the nostrils of all present. And so this one that said to the lady, take your cell phone and call your friends and tell them you're about to die. With his red bandana across his head, he was about to give himself as a holy fighter and go directly to God into paradise with 50 young women up there waiting for him. And that at the day of resurrection, he'll show up with all the wounds that he got when he flew into that World Trade Center. And he'll be there with all that blood and all those wounds and all that gore. And Allah will smell a sweet savor from his death. That's exactly the way they see it. Not one consideration for any women or children or innocent people who might have died that day, knowing nothing, or even Muslims for that matter, that might have been in that building. No consideration whatsoever for these people. All the consideration is about himself and about how he's going to appear before God, and Allah is not God.
Amen.
Remember the God, there's only one God.
Right.
He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And there's only one way you can know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And that's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so therefore they die with this in their mind and they go to hell.
Yes.
For he's dying as a mass murderer.
Yes.
He's dying as a murderer.
Yes.
And yet his Quran, his Hadith, teaches him that he's dying a martyr. And they teach all these little kids over there in Palestine, the Palestinians, and Palestine is not a, is the Palestina is what the, is what the Romans called them. Palestina, to take the name of Israel away from it. Another a case of identification change. And they call them Palestinians today. It's the land of Israel. It's the Holy Land. It's the land of milk and honey. It's the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And but these so-called Palestinians are jumping up and down, clapping their hands, screaming and shouting, and Yasser Arafat realized right then, buddy, this will not look good in America. It won't look good in America. But listen, folks, he taught them to do that. And the little ones there, with a bomb strapped around them, and the red bandana on their forehead, are being taught right now that when they shed their blood, it will be a sweet scent in the nostrils of Allah, and that when that day comes, that they'll be glorified as a martyr and go straight to paradise. And so they're looking forward right now. They're raising a whole new crop of suicide bombers. Right now, in the school system, the Jews have been trying to get this information out. And I don't know if the American media has ever showed it. I don't even know if the Newsweek or any of the Washington Times, the New York Times, any of that junk has ever showed it. But this stuff is on. If you go to the Jewish webpage, they'll show you. The Jerusalem Post webpage. Go to Gamla. Gamla, because that's where they committed suicides. Suicide. You go to www.gamla.com and they'll show you the pictures of these little kids ready to commit suicide from the age of 3, 4, 5 on up, teaching them how to be suicide bombers. And they want Israel. They think that Israel is going to live in peace with them. They're going to live in peace with Israel. Listen, the covenant of the PLO has always been, always will be, has never changed, of the total annihilation of Israel. It's never changed. They drive them into the sea. That's what that Egyptian, what was his name down there in Egypt 30 years ago? I forget his name now, but he says, I will not stop until I drive you into the sea.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But of course he didn't, did he? Yeah. Nobody's going to drive Israel into the sea.
Yeah.
They're going to come down against her.
Yeah.
And God's going to come down out of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going to fight for her.
Amen.
I heard Allah's apostle saying, the example of a mujahid, this is a jihad warrior, in Allah's cause, and Allah knows better who really strives in his cause, is like a person who fasts and prays continuously. Allah guarantees that he will admit the mujahid in his cause into paradise if he is killed. Otherwise, he will return him to his home safely with rewards and war booty. And so it goes. Now I'm talking to Temple Baptist Church tonight. And I want you to listen to me. Something is happening out of this thing that I've already begun to see. And I hope and pray that you're able to discern the spirits. The Bible says, try them. The United States of America is going out of its way to accommodate Islam, the Muslims in the world. They're trying to build a coalition. They want these Muslim countries to support them. They want support from them. You're getting educated in what's called a moderate Muslim or a peace-loving Muslim. You're being brainwashed in this country to believe that there are millions and millions, they say 1 billion people on this earth are Muslims. That you are being brainwashed in this country to believe that these millions and millions of Muslims want nothing else but to live among you peacefully. That's what you're being told. That's what NBC, CBS, ABC is telling you. This is what the ecumenical church movement is telling you. In the National Cathedral the other day when they had the memorial service, they had a Jewish rabbi, they had a Muslim, what do you call them? Whatever he was, and they had a preacher. in other words, they had all these different religions uniting together to give this show of unity to the American people, how that this is the way we're going to deal with our enemy. And yet that's a strange thing, because if the Baptists had declared war on America, I dare say they would not ask this Baptist preacher to get up and preach at the National Cathedral. What they're trying to tell you is that there is such a thing as a Muslim that is not bound to the jihad, the holy war. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. As certainly as the Taliban that rules Afghanistan, and in Sudan where they've been crucifying Christians, and in Saudi Arabia where they'll cut your hand off for witnessing, or lock you up in jail, or put you to death, or in Iraq or Iran, where Christianity is outlawed. That's exactly what would happen in this country the moment that Islam became the state religion. Make no mistake about it. That's exactly what would happen. So, we've come down to the point where we want to find out who God is. Who's God? Who is God? It's very important tonight to know who God is. Very important. Because this ecumenical movement now, you're beginning to see what it's all about, don't you? Don't you see that the ecumenical movement is a movement where the United States, and I'm against its enemies, believe me, and I'd be the first one to go fight, you know that, and I believe in patriotism, and I believe we better do something about it, and I believe if we need to go, we need to go, and we need to kill the mad dog that's killing our women and children. But it's also an opportunity to form an alliance, to create a mindset, to open the door, to prepare the people for the next phase, for what's coming down the pike. And what is that? That's a one world religion. That's a one world religion that doesn't know who God is. Who is God? Who is God? A few thousand years ago, Israel halted between two opinions. They didn't know who God was. They had 450 prophets of Baal, 500 prophets of the grove. They had a land that was covered up with pagans. They didn't know who God was. They didn't know. God reached down like He always does. Hallelujah. Amen. He reached down into obscurity. We don't know where that man came from. He was a Tishbite. That's all we know. And He reached down there and He touched him. And He said, "You go tell him who God is." That name Elijah means that Elohim is Jehovah. That's what it means. Elisha, that took the mantle from Elijah, means that this Elohim, who is Jehovah, is the God that saves. Amen. So He reached down and He put His hand on a man of God and He called him, and He didn't ask anybody's permission, and the man of God didn't check in with the schools of the prophets. He just stepped up on the stage of time. And He stood up there and He said, "Thus saith the Lord." He raised up Elijah when they didn't know who God was. 2,000 years ago. When they didn't know who God was. He reached out there and took a woman past childbearing. An old woman. And her name was Elizabeth. And He impregnated her. And of course, it's not a virgin birth. There's only been one of them. But it was a divine help, or whatever you want to call it. Miraculous. And this woman bore a boy 6-9 months later. But before he ever came out of the womb, he was in there listening to what was going on outside. And he heard the name of Jesus. And he jumped up and down. For he knew who God was. You see, this John the Baptist that showed up 2,000 years ago, my Bible tells me that the Son of God looked at them one day and said, "Listen, this is Elijah, if you'll accept him." What was Elijah's job? To tell him who God was. Who did John the Baptist say Jesus was when he saw him coming? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." No doubt in his mind. And he said, "I want to be baptized, John." John said, "No way. I need to be baptized by you." "Thus it be for all, for fulfill all righteousness, John." All right. John the Baptist settled the issue 2,000 years ago because it was Elijah. Who is God? You're going to see in the near future. They don't know who God is. The Jewish people still don't know who He is. Elijah's coming back. He always shows up when they don't know who God is. Amen. Two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. Amen. One of them's the lawgiver. Yes. Yes. One of them is Moses. Amen. Moshe, the one drawn forth. Moses. But the other one, Elijah. Yes. Elijah. Yes. Elijah. Yes. Jehovah's God. Yes. When he shows up, his very name and the name of the one preaching with him will be enough to convict Israel and the world. Who is God? Is it this creature sitting in the temple professing to be God?
No! Yoh Yah lifts his head to heaven and says he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was here 2,000 years ago. And I was here with him 2,000 years ago. In spirit I showed up. And now I've come back again. The Lord God seems to think that's the only ministry I got. I call for him to come. That was Elijah's job. That's what he was sent for. That's what he lived for. That's what he was here for. He's the one that paved the way of the Lord. And he'll come again. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you know who God is? Not up here. Down here. If they turn loose with the biological, the germ warfare, the chemical warfare, or the nukes, and folks start dying around you, will you know who God is? If you get on an airliner and somehow or another they're able to get by security, and you see them put the red bandanas on, and you know you're going down, do you know who God is? I don't know of a greater thing anybody could know tonight than to know who God is. Who is he, preacher? Yeshua. Jesus. 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 Eight. 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 New beginning. New beginning. New beginning. God starts it all over again with Jesus. Second Adam. Last man. Jesus. God. Jesus. God. Samey. Same one. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is Jesus. Do you know him tonight? He is not the God of the Muslim folk. There's only one God. He's not the Baptist God, Methodist God, Presbyterian God, Church of God, God, Church of Assemblies God. Ephesians 4 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of Zebulun. He's not the God of Naphtali. He's not the God of Gad. He's never called the God of Gad, the God of Naphtali, the God of Zebulun. He's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And bless his holy name. Amen, amen. And I'll take up an M14 locked and loaded or an M6 or whatever they got. See, I saw in the paper, I saw yesterday where they got a thing now that's got a 20 millimeter cannon on top. It's got a NATO 5-point, whatever that millimeter round is on the bottom, rifle round, that man can take that thing and a half a mile away he can shoot that 20 millimeter at the top. Half a mile away that thing will explode in the air above the enemy and, of course, kill what's beneath it. Or underneath he's got a rifled barrel just like an M16. He can turn loose with a round with the range of an M16. He has awesome power in his hands. I was looking at the military capability of the United States, of all the weapons of war we have, of all the arsenal that we've got. It's a very imposing sight. It's a remarkable thing to look at the power that America has. But all of that is absolutely to naught if it goes against the Lord of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For that's all that matters tonight. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Do you know him? Bless his name. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you use what I've said. Bless my dear brothers and my sisters. I thank thee, Lord God, that you chose this old boy out of darkness and called me by thy marvelous grace and gave me light, Heavenly Father, and convicted me and drew me to the cross. And I thank you, Father, tonight for loving my soul. God, when I was everything but lovable. And Father, tonight I pray in Jesus' name for every soul that's here, Lord. You all know all the needs, all every need that's here. You know those that suffer tonight, those that mourn, those that hurt, Heavenly Father, those that are fearful, those, God, tonight in conviction, those that are running. My Heavenly Father, whatever it is, you know. You get a bunch of people together like this, Lord, there's all kinds of problems here tonight, you know. But you're able to do above and beyond all that we might ask or think. And we praise you for that. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing, brother.